Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
After more than 18 months and one cancellation, the return of tennis to Indian Wells is 1 week away. But there are still four tournaments spread across the globe this week before our coverage begins in the desert. It was an All-American showdown in San Diego between these two young guns, and we'll preview some big matches in the night session. Plus, U.S. Open champ Emma Raducanu's Indian Wells debut is a go. Our experts discuss the teenage wild card's big return in the desert. TC Live starts right now. And welcome to TC Live on a Tuesday night as we get set for the night session just down the road from us in San Diego. A couple of good matches coming up as the chase for the championships continues on three continents in Asia, Europe, and here in the USA. On tonight's show, the U.S. women with some struggles in the Windy City. We'll talk about what went on there. Emma Raducanu, the tennis world waiting for her return. She'll be back in Indian Wells. We'll preview it. And a preview of the night session down in San Diego as that ATP event continues just down the road from us. We're here in Santa Monica. Rob Similker, along with a couple of former top tens, Jimmy Arias to my left, Chanda Rubin to my right. Jimmy and I are old friends from yesterday's show, our first one together. Chanda, great to be with you. Nice
Thank
to meet you.
I'm glad you guys let me on the set tonight.
Great to have you as always, Chanda.
All right. Well, I'm excited for Indian Wells. I know a lot of people are. And unusual to have it in the fall, usually a spring event. But I think the excitement will be ratcheted up just a little bit more this year as Emma Raducanu, after taking the tennis world by storm at the U.S. Open, the first player ever to win a Grand Slam as a qualifier. Yeah. Here's how she did it in that memorable final against Leila Fernandez. And she announced today that she will be back for Indian Wells next week. She took a wild card, Chanda, had to take one because her ranking wasn't close to being able to qualify for this. Still hasn't qualified for an event on her own points.
Yeah, she still hasn't had to use her ranking to get in because it hasn't been high enough, but that will change very quickly when you consider the way that she has played. And not only that, the poise she has shown in these big moments. And we kept wondering, can she keep it up? We saw a little bit of her at Wimbledon, where she made her first real breakthrough into the round of 16. But this was a completely different story in New York, and she just seemed to get better and better every match.
She's the greatest player in history already. She's only played four tournaments. But it's remarkable how well she moves, how balanced she is. I don't care how hard you hit the ball to her. She's in perfect position every time. And she didn't really have any holes in her game, and you would expect someone that's only played a couple of tournaments in their life to not be able to perform like this in this stadium, especially. Ash Stadium, which is the biggest crowd you're ever going to play in front of. Yeah. The crowd is loud. It's noisy. It's pressure by multiples of what any other player's ever dealt with. She didn't handle the pressure of Wimbledon, which I guess for her, Wimbledon's even a little bit more pressure. But she learned from that. And now I guess she's just going to win every tournament that she plays the rest of her life because she didn't even lose sets.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a bit about how, you know, her draw wasn't as robust. You know, she didn't have to go through the players that her fellow finalist, you know, Leila Fernandez had to go through. But it was really the way she played against some really good players, some informed players, didn't drop a set, didn't really seem to be pushed, didn't seem to get nervous or tight in big moments. I mean, it was pretty impressive match in and match out from Raducanu. Doesn't have a big weapon, but as you said, Jimmy, doesn't really have any holes in her game. And she just seemed to always be able to get herself out of trouble in the corners of the court. She springs back in. She uses her serve beautifully. So that gives her a very solid service game, which is what you need to win big events. I mean, it was impressive across the board. And it'll be interesting to see how she continues continues to transition, but I think she'll do very well in these hard courts.
It's going to be fascinating to see whether the letdown effect is there or not for her. And when you look at what she's done with this meteoric rise, she is now not too far outside the WTA final zone. The top eight players in terms of points earned this year make it to the WTA finals. They're going to be in Mexico, and Raducanu is 14th, just by virtue of not just the U.S. Open performance, also round of 16 at Wimbledon. She's got a shot here, Jimmy.
Well, don't forget, there's a couple of players that aren't going to be showing up, most likely. And Naomi Osaka's not playing for sure. Ash Barty, I don't think she's going to show up. So all of a sudden, the top eight is really the top 10. And so she's only a few points away, really, from only playing a handful of tournaments. That's the part that she's going to be in her fifth tournament.
Yeah.
She's about to make the year-end championships, possibly, if she can continue. It's going to be a little different because all of a sudden she's a star, such a star, that will she be able to handle that part of it? Because it's not just tennis any longer. They're going to want a piece of her in everything that she does.
Yeah, Chanda, you can speak to this. I mean, she's not going to sneak up on anybody at Indian Wells or probably ever again for the rest of her life. And how was it for you as you rose up the rankings from, you know, not as well known to being a top 10 player? How did it change the way you had to prepare and of course, the way players played against you?
No, it's a shift in your mindset. And certainly for Raducanu, it's happened just all at once. And it is a huge difference. For most players, they've at least had to break into the top 100. Then you sort of hit those milestones, you know, into maybe the top 30, top 20. And you eat at each stage, you sort of have to deal with a different kind of pressure. For Raducanu, it has just happened all at one time. Literally within a couple of months, she has kind of leaped past these normal milestones. And I think that's going to be interesting to see. I mean, we've been seeing her social media, all of the different events she's doing, the people that she's rubbing shoulders with. How will she handle all of that? We've seen how she handles it on the court. How will she handle it off the court? It's going to be interesting to see.
No one has ever done what she did. No one's ever come from nowhere and won a major. It's kind of, I don't think it'll ever happen again either, by the way. It's a one-time thing. It was incredible what just happened. And so we don't know how she's going to react. But the way she reacted in the matches, you have a feeling she can handle sort of anything.
Yeah, and I think it was a good sign. I mean, she became huge in Great Britain. I mean, being there at Wimbledon and kind of seeing just how she was received, all of a sudden she couldn't walk from the practice courts, and just having to deal with that, and she had a bit of anxiety in that match, and, you know, when she kind of had a chance to sit back and work through that, we saw the difference in New York in terms of how she approached those big matches. So I think it should help, the fact that she kind of went through that in her home country.
Yep.
But it is incredible, and as you said, Jimmy, no one has ever done that before, so she is sort of in class all her own.
All right, well, from one U.S. Open champion to another, Sloane Stephens taking the court in Chicago today at this WTA 500 event, taking on Tamara Zidanchek, and Stephens struggled in this one.
Yeah, Zidanchek, though, is a solid player, very smart in how she constructs her points. She had a big breakthrough this year, getting to the semifinals of Roland Garros, and so she was always going to be a tough match for Stephens. But Stephens just not able to capitalize on some breakpoint opportunities. You saw Zidanchek there stepping in, using her forehand, hitting through big lanes. She is such a solid player, a good mover. She was a skier, I think, when she was a kid. So she's got the balance, and you could see it in this match. Stephens, though, 8 break points, couldn't convert on any of them, had some break point opportunities in that game, but Zidanchek able to weather the storm and made this match very routine.
It was all downhill for Zidanchek as she plows right through this one. And Stephens, we'll talk about in a minute where she goes from here, obviously struggling. But Garbiñe Muguruza also on the court against American Ann Lee.
Yeah, and Muguruza is such a veteran player in big matches. And this one was really no different. She was too solid, hitting big off the ground, used the forehand there, was able to close out the first set against Ann Lee, who's a nice athletic player, has an all-around game, can come in and play comfortably at the net, but it was Muguruza who got on top of her when she saw second serves, and from the ground, Muguruza just was too solid. She gets through. Tough match, but in 2 sets.
So she is through, and take a look at the other scores from Chicago. See Victoria Azarenka rolling 2-1, and a win for the American, Baptiste.
Anna Samova as well with a 3-set win, and Danielle Collins has been playing very well. She's continuing to play well, got through a difficult match. Ons Jabeur, Yeah. Who was on that list? She won one in love. Yeah. She's looking pretty good.
Against
well.
Shea, who beat Kim Clijsters in the first round. So a very nice win for Jabeur, who's been playing fantastic tennis all year.
Chanda, let's talk about Sloane Stephens again. She got through a couple of rounds, a couple of tough American matches at the U.S. Open. And then, you know, petered out in the third round. But where do you think her game is right now, and what should her expectations be as we get toward the end of the year?
You know, I think, you know, it's a little bit of a catch-22 for Sloane, because she showed some flashes towards the latter part of this year in terms of getting her game back. She seemed to be a little happier on court, got into pretty good shape, you know, towards this stage. But it's still kind of putting it together and capitalizing on opportunities. She's been a player who, she's a Grand Slam champion, and there's still so much expectations on her. She's got so much game, and too often we feel like we don't see it in some of these matches, and especially the tough ones where it's you have to get down and compete and really pull from that reservoir that she has of winning. So you don't expect to see her go out so meekly, so one-sided against a player like Zidanecek, as good as she's played. So that's the frustration. But hopefully Sloane can build on a few of these match wins she's had this year and hopefully, you know, use it towards the rest of the year, whatever she's playing, and then get a good start next year.
I think with Sloane, you don't know what you're going to get from week to week. And if she is committed mentally into a match or into a tournament, and usually it happens in the bigger tournaments, that's where she's going to show her best. When she shows her best, she can still win anything. She did remind me a little bit when we were watching those highlights of Fabio Fognini. And the reason I say that is both players in between shots. So they'll hit a ball, and they both, sure, they're so athletic and fast that they kind of stand around for a second, and they can still get to balls, but they're not quite in position all the time. They don't work so hard in between shots often. And that's the part of the game where I think if they did, they're both so athletic, they would have better results, more consistent results.
Standing and watching your shot, something I've been known to do on the tennis court. Not a good thing to do. All right, when we come back after a break, we'll head down to San Diego where the men are in action. An American matchup, Seb Korda and Tommy Paul went at it. We'll bring you the highlights when we come back on TC Live.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
And Tommy Paul, and this was a good match.
This is the third time that these two have met this year, and Korda had won the first two. It looked as though the way the first set was going, it was going to be exactly the same thing, as Korda took the first set pretty comfortably. He wasn't sure that he was going to play this tournament. I spoke to him about 10 days ago, and he told me he had food poisoning, he'd lost 10 pounds, he wasn't sure if he was going to make it until Indian Wells, but obviously he's happy he got here. He won the first set 6-3, and Tommy Paul fought back hard in that second set. Korda had some pressure late in the set, wasn't able to break through, and eventually Tommy Paul wins the second set. But the third set, break chance here for Korda, and he hits a ridiculous backhand pass down the line. He's got such a good backhand. He's got such an aggressive return to serve. Korda is sort of the next guy, you get the sense, from America that has a chance to really continue going. He won that third set 6-1 pretty comfortably. Third time he's beaten him this year.
Up right after that, Grigor Dimitrov. He's fallen outside the top 30, trying to get his first career win over Martin Fucsovics.
Yeah, I lost to him a couple of times last year. He was struggling in that second set, obviously lost the second set quickly, but managed to steal a win. Won a couple of important points for Dimitrov. He's got to get that confidence back, that swagger. He's the kind of player that has so much talent, but he's been up and down throughout his career. When he's feeling confident, he'll win a bunch of matches in a row. When he's not, he'll lose a lot of first rounds in a row.
A lot of Bulgarian flags on display there down in San Diego as he gets the win. A look at other scores, and Lloyd Harris in action as we speak, taking on Eubanks, down a set, up a break in the second set.
Sonego with a nice win against Bashkirtsevili. It's such a difficult draw. Cam Nori playing well, beating Kupfer first round. For a 250, this San Diego Open is ridiculous how
packed.
Strong that draw is.
Stacked. I mean, everybody's trying to play. They're getting ready for Indian Wells. And who doesn't want to play in San Diego?
not to mention just down the road from Indian Wells, where they're all going to be. So a lot of good reasons to play San Diego. And so that's exciting. Let's talk about Korda Paul for a second. I mean, you know, Seb Korda, I loved his comments after the match. He was asked, actually, by the interviewer, who do you think was better at this age, you or your dad? And here's what he said.
Who's better at 21 years old, Sebastian Korda or Peter Korda?
I think me, actually. I think I had a better ranking, and I don't think he won a title yet, so I'm taking me.
Love the answer. Love the confidence. Jimmy, what do you think? Who would you take in that competition?
Definitely Sebastian. Korda wasn't great young, and when he first came on, I thought, how is this guy even out here? He was 6'2 and weighed about 96 pounds, and he did hit the ball. Peter, his dad, hit it so cleanly. Sebastian also hits it really cleanly. I expect great things from both of them. Obviously, we've already had them from Peter. He won a major.
Yeah, no, and, you know, Seb made the case for it. He gave, you know, clear evidence. He didn't just say it because of feelings. He said, I've got a title, my ranking's higher. So, I mean, I think that's pretty cut and dried. And, you know, incidentally, Seb Korda talks about his mom being really the influence in terms of his strokes and how cleanly he hits the ball. So he's got it both sides.
Yeah, a lot of upside there. Great lineage. And we're all excited to see what he does. He's still in that tournament, so we'll see where he goes. Meanwhile, down in San Diego, an interesting thing going on right now. There's an exhibition going on for a charity down there. And it's a celebrity exhibition benefiting the Rady Children's Hospital in San Diego. Quite an exhibition. We wish I could show it to you right now. But you got James Blake, Landon Donovan, Steve Nash, the former NBA champion and current coach of the Brooklyn Nets, all playing along with the tournament director. So a really good celebrity doubles matchup. And we started talking before the show about celebrity doubles and who both of you have played with. And Chanda, I'll start with you. Who's your best celebrity doubles partner?
I mean, you know, I played some with Sean T, who's a really good player, good athlete. But Barack Obama would be the best. I was a bit awed. And,
wow.
You know, he walked out. It was at the White House for one of the Easter egg events. And we didn't know when he'd come out there. And he just strolls out in his slacks and his dress shirt. And, you know, he's a lefty. And he just had this great little kind of spin that he could put on the ball, a little flick to it. And it was fun. Everybody was excited.
I actually like the way he's about to hit the backhand, but he's already checking out where his opponent is, how he can get the ball away.
I was looking at his eyes.
Opponent.
Yeah, his eyes are definitely not on the ball.
Yeah, no, he did a couple of no-look shots where he looked one way and he hit it the other.
I mean, he's got a one-hander. I love this guy.
Hey, anything you can do wearing slacks and a button-down shirt, I'd say is pretty impressive. So whatever he did was great. Jimmy, what about you? Who'd you play with?
Well, I've annoyed many celebrities over the years because it's something I sort of enjoy doing, just seeing how they react.
Not you, Jimmy.
Hard to believe.
Shockingly, I have done it over the years. And the one that I remember the best was actually Jim Carrey at the U.S. Open. He came and played. We all the ex-players were playing in Pro-Am, and he joined us. And I did play against him. There he is at the U.S. Open. And he did play reasonably well, I have to admit. But after it was all over, all the ex-players are standing around, and they're all saying, oh, you were so good, you were so great. And he was pretty athletic, I have to give him credit. But I couldn't stand all the love he was getting. So while they're all saying, you were great, I was standing next to him and I finally said, I thought you sucked. And he goes, spread the word. Which was a fantastic answer. I love that he just went right back at it, and he didn't take it personally.
Of all the things he could have said to you in that moment, that was a pretty good one.
It was amazing.
From your point of view.
Yes, I was
That's
impressed.
High praise. Jimmy liked it.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, well, good to play with a comedian, but I think Chanda wins with the President of the United States. All right, when we come back, we'll set you up for the night session. A change in that first match. As Kei Nishikori was supposed to take on Andy Murray, he's had to pull out, and Dennis Kudla, a lucky loser, will get into that match. We'll talk about it when we come back on TC Live. To Sofia, Bulgaria, we go, where they're playing a men's event. Marcos Giron, the American, in action, taking on Jaume Munar, and a three-setter here. Munar got the first set in a tiebreak. Giron bouncing back with a 6-1 in the second set. Match point here. And Giron finishes with a volley. That's advantage Giron there. And What do you like about him here, Jimmy?
I mean, he's at sort of a career high, right around his career high. He's playing very well. Giron making his way on the tour level now, ranked in the 60s. He's just about to be getting a ranking that gets him into the Masters 1000s.
Well, he's picking up some points in Bulgaria. Meanwhile, to Kazakhstan we go. And yes, native Kazakh Yulia Putintseva in action here, and not a lot of chances for her to play at home in front of her home fans, but she does it here and cruises 6-1, 6-2.
Yeah, she's such a good mover, showed it there, just smothering against her opponent and made it look very easy. Nice to get this kind of win playing in your home country.
All right, and so tennis all around the world happening, and there you see the matchups for tomorrow, both in Kazakhstan and in Sofia. Putintseva will take on Lapko, Emil Ruusuvuori, and James Duckworth.
I'm looking forward to a couple of these matches, especially to see why James Duckworth is suddenly becoming such a great player at sort of an advanced age. He's getting into the net. He's playing big. He's got a youngster in Ruusuvuori up next. Ivashka, another player this year, all of a sudden, at an advanced age. Who's
how advanced are we talking about here?
Well, advanced in that he's been on the tour for a long time, and all of a sudden he's found that sort of winning formula.
He seems amazing.
We saw Ivashka win in Winston-Salem, and so he was hot going into the Open, won a couple of matches there. All right, let's check out our social net as we look at what's going on around the web in the world of tennis. And, of course, we start with Emma as she continues her post-U.S. Open tour. And here she is checking out the red carpet at the debut of the latest James Bond movie in the U.K. It's pretty good celebrity action here for Emma.
I mean, this is kind of got to be when you know you've made it, right? You're going to the Bond premiere, looking beautiful on the red carpet, and everybody wants to just see her and get a taste of how she has seemed to rocket up the stratosphere in such a short period of time. She's so glamorous, Emma Raducanu, and she just seems to have a good presence about her. So
she went to the Met Gala as well.
Yeah,
so I mean, she's just red carpet. She's played five tournaments. She's already red carpet stuff. I mean, it's impossible, really.
She's played with Princess Kate. I mean you know, where do you go from there?
It's in a hurry.
It's amazing how your life can change with one run at a Grand Slam. All right, we move on now, and here's a look at Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal having a little exchange online. And after the Laver Cup, Nadal and Federer talking about maybe playing some dubs at next year's Laver Cup.
These two are interesting to me because they've been such fierce rivals. They wanted to be the greatest of all time, but they were still friendly. That never happened before these two. If you were number one and you had a rival, you are supposed to hate that guy. These guys love each other, and now their doubles partners are trying to be at sort of a age when I'm a little worried about Roger with three knee surgeries, whether or not he's going to be able to play. Especially if they play like this together, where you're really going to get injured running into each other, especially because I have a sense that Rafa would win the battle if they're going to sort of sumo wrestle.
Well, you figure, you know, they both want the ball. That's how they've made their livings. And Roger knew, just get out the way because this swing has already started. But this is one of the high points of Laver Cup, seeing these two on the same side of the court together. So hopefully we'll see it again.
That was the first Laver Cup. And meanwhile, Taylor Fritz, now he's playing in San Diego, which, by the way, is his hometown. He won yesterday, and this was his reward, apparently, for winning. His car gets dinged.
Don't you hate when that happens? That's the bumper, right? Man, how does that happen?
I mean, is that
did they leave a note?
Is that him backing in to somebody?
Oh,
or
my
did
goodness,
they hit him?
He was parked. They didn't even leave a note, Jimmy.
I mean,
you would have left a note, right?
It happens. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Except I usually try not to hit parked cars. I've done a pretty good job over my driving career of not hitting parked cars.
Excellent parallel parker. Who knew?
Yes, exactly.
Among your skills. Absolutely. All right. Well, that's what
cars do it for you now.
Some of them do. Some of them do, which is a nice little feature. All right. Well, let's look ahead to our schedule on Tennis Channel. We will bring you that. Look ahead to the nightcap in San Diego as well when we come back here on TC Live. Back here on TC Live, a look ahead to Wednesday, and we got a full slate of action coming at you from Chicago. Belinda Bencic will be in action along with Alina Svitolina, who just won in Chicago the week before the U.S. Open. She's back as the number one seed.
Yeah, these are some fantastic matches. Vika Azarenka will be up against the wild card Hayley Baptiste, who won her first round. We'll see how she acquits herself. And, you know, of course, at the top, Belinda Bencic, fresh off of a gold medal, said that was her career achievement. She's been playing great against Madison English. We'll see how she does.
Hot shot of the day. We head down to San Diego. Tommy Paul, Seb Korda, and Tommy Paul looking for a forehand here.
I mean, anytime you're playing Korda, you're facing some pressure on your second serve, and Paul handled the pressure well that time. A great return, defensive slice, pretty good volley, and an even better forehand pass on the dead run.
The sweet running forehand, but it was Korda who prevailed in that match. Okay, we're looking ahead to a night session in San Diego, a change there. We expected to see Kei Nishikori taking on Andy Murray. Nishikori had to pull out not long before the match, so it will be American Dennis Kudla, the lucky loser. He played last in qualifiers against Federico Gaio, who's playing in the second match tonight against Diego Schwartzman. And so Kudla and Murray will play for the first time ever.
I'm a little annoyed in some ways that Kei Nishikori isn't able to make that match against Andy Murray, because I was really looking forward to former number one against former number four. Both players are starting to play pretty well. Murray has been really training hard and playing well, playing a lot of matches. And Nishikori, I saw him the last 2 weeks. It's the hardest I've seen him train when he was at IMG right after the U.S. Open. His shoulder looked good. That was what had been causing him problems. He was serving big. I actually made a joke to him, are you going to serve 130 miles an hour in San Diego? He told me, no, 140. So he was getting ready, and he gets to San Diego, and his back goes out on him. So instead, it's Kudla against Murray. Good for Kudla. He's lucky loser, who's actually having a pretty good year and is a pretty dangerous player. So it'll be an interesting match.
And Chanda, Andy Murray, now 34 years old, still outside the top 100 rankings-wise, but, I mean, it's Andy Murray we're talking about. And we saw from him at the U.S. Open, that impressive match that ended up in a loss to Tsitsipas, but a tight one. He's clearly had a shot there. What do you think the upside is for Murray? How high do you think he can go on that surgically repaired hip?
I mean, that's always the question, and we don't know, because this is a whole new sort of ball game. And for Murray, you know, he's had to make adjustments. He's not moving quite the way he did when he was at his best with that hip, but he's moving incredibly well, and he has improved in that department. He's been getting, you know, some good matches in. He's had, you know, a couple of nice wins mixed in there. And I think that has helped kind of, you know, reiterate that he's on the right track. And I think that's important.
All right. There we see Dennis Kudla taking the court. He just found out a couple hours ago he'd be playing. So always interesting, Jimmy, the mindset, right? He stays in town after losing in qualifiers, gets the call to take on the former Grand Slam champion.
Nothing can be better than losing in a tennis tournament and then you didn't lose. You're sort of back in the tournament. So there's an opportunity for him. He's played on these courts. He's accustomed to all the conditions here. I expect him to play pretty well. Having said that, I really do think Andy Murray's he's not playing just to be ranked 100 in the world. He's actually playing thinking and hoping that I can get back, that he can get back to sort of that position where he's vying for titles and for big titles. And I think he's put in the work. He's one of the hardest workers of all time on the tour, and I think he's going to continue putting it in. And hopefully his hip will allow him to compete at the level that he wants to.
Yeah. All right, and then the nightcap, of course, will be Diego Schwartzman taking on Federico Gaio. And Diego Schwartzman, I think, had the best line of the Laver Cup.